Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Beis. We're learning today Li'li Nishmas Gerald Beyer, Yehuda ben Moshe, and also Li'li Nishmas Fei Rothstein, Feiga Bas Yaakov. All the Nishmas we learned for Shadev and Aliyah from all learning. We pick up the Gemara where we left off yesterday at the two dots at the bottom of Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, three lines from the bottom. And the Gemara tells us, continuing to Darshan, who exactly Miriam was and her relationship to having children that were from Kolev. So, V'cholev ben Chetzron. This is a pasuk that we have in Divrei HaYamim that tells us that Kolev was the son of Chetzron. Now, we know that Kolev is ben Yefuneh. So, obviously, we have to darshan all the psukim. The psukim in Divrei HaYamim are different than other psukim in that they don't provide necessarily straight lineages. They're often just darshan, and they don't necessarily imply what the simple meanings of the words do. So, Cholev ben Chetzron. Holid, he gave birth to Es Azuva Isha. He gave birth to his wife, Azuva, which obviously makes no sense, so we'll have to darshan that. Ve'ele Vaneha, and these are her children, Yesher Vishovav the Ardon. So how do we darshan that? So number one, Ben Chetzron, he was the son of Chetzron. After all, we know Kalei ben Yefuneh, who? He is very famous as being Kalei ben Yefuneh. His father was Yefuneh, not Chetzron. So the Gemara says, no, Yefuneh is a code name, so to say, Bein Shepona Me'atzas Meraglim. He's referred to as Kalev, the one who turned away from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. Of course, he and Yoshua did not follow along with the other 10 Meraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu sent into Eretz Yisrael. The other 10 came back with the bad report about Eretz Yisrael. And of course, Kalev and Yoshua stood firm and said, this is the greatest place in the world for us to be. And they were each rewarded. So Kalev is known as Kalev ben Yefuneh, the one that turned away from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. The Gemara says, but wait a second, Vakate ben Kenazu, but he was known as the son of Kenaz, because the Pasuk says, Vayilkido Osniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev. So his father sounds like it should be Kenaz, also not Chetzron, because he is referred to as the brother of Osniel ben Kenaz. So, Mistama, they had the same father. The question says, no, they had the same mother, but not the same father. Amarava, Chargo de Kenaz Haba. He was a half-brother of Osniel. They shared the same mother, but they did not have the same father. Gemara turns to Yud Beis Omid Aleph and says, I'll show you that this is correct, because Daikonami, look at the diuk in the psukim, Dechsiv, it says elsewhere that Kalev ben Yefuneh Hakinizi. So he's referred to as Hakinizi, not Ben Kenaz. So he's referred to as Hakinizi. As Rashi tells us in the top Rashi, Kruachrina, there's a different pasuk, Kimishtoi, but Kalev, when it calls Kalev, it calls him Lokarya Ben Kenaz, like he does Osniel Ben Kenaz. Kedimsev, be Osniel, Ella Hakinizi. He's referred to as Hakinizi, meaning me Anshe Beso of Kenaz. Umagdilov show Kenaz. He was raised in the house of Kenaz, but he wasn't the son of Kenaz. That's why he's referred to as a Kenizi. Then we have the Darshan the Pasuk. It said, Azuva. Azuva, who is Azuva? Azu Miriam. This is a reference to Miriam. Philomenik Roshma Azuva. We had this in yesterday's shir. Why was she called Azuva if her name was really Miriam? Philomenik Roshma Azuva. Shakol Azvuha Mitrilosu. When she got sick, everybody thought she was going to die, and they sort of say left her. And she got sick. Rashi says she had tsaras. This is separate than the tsaras that she had later in her life. She had some sort of illness, possibly tsaras, that in fact caused everybody to think that she was going to die, and therefore she was, quote, left. That's why she called Azuva. Now, it said that Kalev gave birth to her. Hold it. That doesn't make any sense. Valo minzav hava nosuvla. He was married to her. So the Gemara tells us an amazing thing. Omer of Yochanan. Kalev nosa isha l'shem shemayim. Malo v'kosuv kilu yiloda. If you go and marry a woman, not for beauty, not for money, not for other things in the world, but other than the shem shemayim, to have a wife, to be mekai the mitzvah puravu, and that a person shouldn't be alone. So a person who goes and marries with the proper purposes, it's as if he gave birth to that woman, Malo, of course, of Ki'ilu Yolada, because in this situation, he's making that woman complete by becoming her husband, and therefore, just like she makes him complete, they become a Basar Echad, a single entity, so it's as if he created her. Then it says in the Pasuk, it refers to Miriam as Yurios. So why is she referred to as Yurios? Shahayu Panea Domim Liurios. Her face was pallor. She had a very pale face because she was so sick, so all the blood had left her face, and therefore she was like pale as a curtain. So Panea Domim Liurios. Then it says Eluvonea, these are her children, and it said Yesher Shovov and Ardon. So each of them has a teaching here as well. Al tikri boneha, don't read them as her children, ella boneha. This is all referring to Kalev, her husband, who built her up. And why was he called Yesher? Because Sheyesher is Atzmo. He straightened himself out and didn't follow along with the Atzas Meraglim. Why was he called Shovav? Sheshibev Es Yitzro. He went against his Yetzer Hara. Rashi says that this is a Lashon of Habas HaShoveva. We have a pasuk from Yirmiyahu where it says, Yotzanis Umoredis, went out and rebelled. So he was rebelling against his Yetzer Hara, who told him to sit with the Atzas Meraglim. He said, no, I'm not. And why was he called Ardon? The Ardon? Shirodo es Yitzro. He put his Yetzirah in its place. As Rashi says, Shoyo Mesiso Litos Imoim. He tricked his Yetzirah and made every look like he was going to agree with the Meraglim, and then of course he came out and supported Moshe Rabbeinu against the vicious lies of the Meraglim. Alternatively, Ardon refers to Miriam and not to Kalev, because the Amrei Al Shaya Paneha, Shayu Paneha, Domin Leveret. Her face was like a veret. As she got better, she became like a rose, a beautiful rose, and therefore she's known as Ardon. Then it says another pasuk, also from Divrei Hayamim, Ula Ashur Avi Tekoa Hayushtei Noshim. So this person Ashkon, who was the father of Tekoa, had two wives. And what were their names? The Chela, the Nara. Now, how do we dash in this pasuk? So Ashur, this is a reference to Zekalev. Why was he called Ashur? The Lomani Korshu Ashur, Shehushkaru Panov Bitanios, because he fasted so many times, his face became black with emaciation because he wanted to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please save him from the Atzas Raglam. He went to daven by the Maras HaMachpelah as well, and he became blackened, his face became Hushkar because of all the Tanisim that he did. Why was he called Avi Tekoa? Avi Shinasa Lokyab. He was like a father to Miriam, as Rashi says, the Sasik Babi Rufuos Umizonos and Hatzrich Lechola. He treated her like a father treats a little child who's sick, that he took care of all her needs. He gave her the medicines she needed. He took care of the food that she needed, just like a father would take care of a little child. That's why it's called Avi. Why is it called Avi Tekoa? Because Shetoka es Libo Liavi Shashwaim. He put a spike, so to say, down on the ground and established his heart towards Shomayim. It says that he had two wives, so Kishtei Noshim. The names were Chela Vinara. So Nasa Miriam Kishtei Noshim. That both are references to Miriam. When she was sick, she was Chela, and when she got better, she was Vinara. Chela Vinara, lo Chela Vinara Havai. Not that she was both of them at the same time. Ela Betchila Chela. Originally, she was sick, and then through Kalev's help, with of course the Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing, Ula Besof Nara, she became a young, beautiful lady again, as we'll see, that she's referred to as a Nara, she wasn't a young girl. Okay, then the pasuk continues and it says, Uvnei Chela, Tzeres, Vitzohar, the Esnon. This woman, Miriam, had three sons, Tzeres, Tzohar, and Esnon. So what does this refer to? This is all comments about Miriam. Why she called Tzeres? Shenasis Tzora L'chabrosel. She became like a co-wife to all the other women. As Rashi says, Miskanos Biofya. Everybody was so jealous of her. Just like one co-wife is jealous of another co-wife, Minah Torah, a man's allowed to have more than one wife. So if a man has two wives, so there's a presumed dislike or competition between the two. They're called sorrows to each other. Each one causes the other one tsar, sorrow, difficulty, narrowness, because each one is competing for the affections of the husband. So she was called Sarah. She was like a tzara to all the rest of Kaiso, and that they all were jealous of her beauty. Tzohar, why was she referred to as Tzohar? Shuponel domim katzorayim. Her face shone like the middle of the day, like Tzoharayim. And why was she referred to as Esnan? She called a rosa molech Esnan leishto. So an Esnan zona, we know, is a famous word from the Torah. That's the fee that you pay for the harlot. That's the fee that you have to give for the zona to have relations with you. So she was referred to as Esnan because everybody who saw her would then go and want to have relations with his wife. So he would go and give a present to his wife to make her want to have relations with him. He would treat his wife nicely. Then you have the ads over here that it's normally not necessary to go and bribe one his own wife to have relations with her. So he says this was either to have relations more frequently than they would have had otherwise, or to have relations again after they had already had relations with her. Now we'll go back to the discussions of the Pesach, Vayitzav Paro L'chol Amo, and he said, Kol Aben Hayod La'yore Tashlichu. Paro said to L'chol Amo. How do we darshan L'chol Amo? So Amar Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says, Af al Amo Goza. Originally, Paro went to throw the Jewish people into into the Nile. But however, he then saw the famous story that Rashi brings down from the Itztanigne Paro. It said that we see that today the Moshiach and Sholklai Yisrael has been born, the Ein Anu Yodim in Mitzrihu O Yehudi. They weren't able to clearly see because Moshe Rabbeinu was raised in Paro's house. So in some way they saw him as a Mitzri, even though of course he was a Yehudi. And therefore, what did Paro do? Rashi continues, V'oma v'kibetz kol amo, u'bikesh men liten lo ha'nolodim bo bayom v'gozer af alamo. So that very day, he ordered all of his own people to go and throw their own babies into the Nile. The Medrash says that they didn't listen to him, but in any event, this is what Paro did. But it's not Paro l'chol amo, even to all of his people. Af al amo gozar. Remember Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, and Rav Yossi Rav Chanina adds another statement. He says, Shalosh gzeres gozar. Paro had three stages or three steps in trying to eradicate the Jewish people. But Chilo, originally, he just was hoping that the midwives would go kill the babies. In vain hu, v'aviteno so, if the Jewish midwives are assisting in the birth of a male, they should go kill the baby. But that didn't work. So the gears that we have is a little bit sof. We often find the word libesof, meaning not the end, it means just the next part. It doesn't literally mean the end. You can have a resha and a seifa, and the seifa is really not the end. So, libesof is a correct gear. So, however, the Mesaras HaShas in Os Bey says it should be the achakach. And his second decree was, v'chol habein ha'yilod ha'yorot ha'shlichu. The midwives said they couldn't kill the Jewish babies, so he said, okay, so then everybody has to throw the Jewish babies into the Nile. And then, libesof, ultimately, he saw the Itztanig, the Paro said that the Moshiach and Shal Yisrael could be a Mitzri, so then he said, Af al amo gozar. He said, even his own people had to throw the babies into the Nile. Then it says, Vayelech ish b'beis levi, vayikach es ba'as levi. So it says, Lehechon halach, where did he go? This is, of course, talking about Amram to take back Yocheved to be his wife. So where did he go? Lehechon halach. So Rehuda bar Zvina said, Shehalach b'atzaz bito. He was following, he went along with the advice of his daughter, Miriam. Miriam had said, as the Brisa Dal tells us, Tana, Amram Gadol Adorya, he was the head of the Jewish people. For many, many years, Amram was head of the Jewish people. Amram is listed as one of the people that never sinned. Along with Yishai, David's father, David's son, Kiliab, Binyamin from the Shvatim, and Amram, they were the four people that never sinned. Amram was the Gadol Ador for the Jewish people. And Kivish Rosh, Omar Paro Rosh, Kolabin Ayelot Yorot Tashlichu, when he saw that Paro had this horrible decree that all the male sons are going to be thrown into the Nile, so he said to the Klai Yisrael, Lashavanu Amelim, we're going to give birth, we're going to procreate with our wives, and what's going to happen? All the babies are going to be killed, the boys are going to be killed. And therefore, he did something, and everybody followed along. Amar v'girusha ishto, and amnu kulam v'girusha was nishosein. So he separated from Yocheved, and all the other men followed him. The Gadol Hador does something, so all the other men did the same thing, and they divorced their wives. Now, Miriam comes along. Amar lo bito. Miriam is 6 years old at this time. Amar lo bito. His daughter Miriam comes along and says, Abba, Dad, Amram, kosher gzeira scha, Yosef ishal paro. For a number of reasons, your gzeira to separate from your wives is a much stricter gzeira than even Paro had to throw the Jewish babies into the Jewish boys into the Nile. Shaparo lo gozer ala schar, yato gzarta ala schar ala kevos. Paro only was gozer that the Jewish male children should be killed, and your gozer that all of the children should be killed. In other words, by divorcing yourself from your wife and having all the men in Klai Yisrael divorce from their wives, there won't be males or females born. Paro was only gozer in this world, but there'll be tremendous, tremendous reward for all of these babies in the world to come that they died on Kiddush Hashem. But you, by saying, don't procreate, separate from your wives, so there won't be any olam hazeh, there won't be any olam haba for them as well. And finally, Paro, this wicked king, Sofik miskayemis, because they were so, Sofik ain't miskayemis. Maybe they'll listen to him, maybe they won't. In fact, when Paro said to be gozer on his people to throw their own babies into the Nile, they all said, are you crazy? We're not doing that. So therefore, Paro, who's an earthly king, maybe he'll be listened to, maybe he won't. But you, the Gadol Hador, Atot Tzadik, you're a righteous person. Everybody listens to the Tzadik. The Gadol Hador says something, Mistama, the religious people are going to listen to the Gadol Hador. Shinemar, as the pasuk tells us, it's a pasuk from Eov. Shinemar, the sigzar omer the yakom loch, the tzaddik will be goes there and it will happen. We have many times it says kishkaga hazorek mipnei hashalit. So we find that if the tzaddik is saying something, then that's what will happen. So here you're separated from your wife. Every Jewish man is going to separate from their wives. So Amram took the musa from his daughter Miriam, Amar v'hechziris ishto. He took back his wife, and Amdu kula v'hechziris nishosein. And all the other men did the same thing, and that continued the procreation of Klai Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And it said, Vayikach ish mi beis Levi. Why does it use a lashon of Vayikach? He remarried her. Vayachzor mi boile. It should have said a lashon of Vayachzor. Others have the girsa Vayachzir. In any event, he took her back. Why did he say he took her, like implying it was anew? So I'm reviewed the Rezvina, another statement from the Rezvina. He said, Sha'asa, now the girsa we have is law, but it really is law, Masa Likuchen, that he took her in a Maisa of Likuchen. In other words, it was like it was a first marriage, as the Gemara tells us. So Shiva Apirion, he took her in a fancy Apirion. This was like the marriage chair that they would bring the Kala into the wedding hall. The Aaron and Miriam were active now, and the children that they already had, Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was older. She was 6, Aaron was 3, so they were dancing in front of her. And this is what the Malachim say. We have the pasuk in Halal. Ema bonim smecha is a reference to this mother, this Yocheved, that was now being taken back in marriage by her husband. The Ben Yehuda asks over here, so why is a mother happy over here? So she was being returned to her physical beauty and her youth. And Amram wasn't. That's why it says, Eim HaBonim Smecha. It's only the mother that was happy. Because Yocheved was given this miraculous return to her youth and beauty. She was 130 years old, but Amram was not. Then it says, Vayikach Ish, basically, as Bas Levi. She took the Bas Levi. Now, Yocheved is 130 years old, and she's referred to as Bas Levi. More says, Efsha, Bas Meu, Shloshim Shana, Vav, Kore, Law, Bas? Doesn't make any sense. And how do we know that she was under 30 years old? The Omer, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. Another statement from Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. He says, Zu Yocheved. When the Pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu came down with 70 Nefesh Limitzrayim, if you count up the Pesukim, there's only 69. So there's a number of answers. Who is the 70th one? Some say that it referred to the Shechina that went down with them. But the Gemara here tells us that the 70th person was a reference to Zu Yocheved. She's not listed in the Pesukim because she wasn't born until they entered in Mitzrayim, but she was already conceived. So therefore, her mother was pregnant with her. So this is a reference to Zu Yocheved. Shorosa b'derech, she had been conceived on the road down to Mitzrayim. But Vilei Dasa, she was actually given birth to Ben Achomos. So therefore, she's not listed in the 69 people that are already born, but she was born as they entered into Mitzrayim, and that's where you get the number 70. Shenemar, Asher Yoda Oso Lulevi b'Mitzrayim. She was born, the Pasuk tells us, in Mitzrayim, but she was conceived on the way. Le'dasa b'Mitzrayim, however, in Harasa b'Mitzrayim. So therefore, that's the 70th person. So we see that was 130 years beforehand. So you're referring to her as a Bas, and she's 130 years old. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Shenoldu Basi Moni Naris, that she became like a young girl again. Just like it says by Sari Menu, that she was 90 years old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored to her menstrual cycle and her youth and her beauty. So too it happens over here by Yocheved, the same nace happened. Someone from Shem asks, so why doesn't the Torah tell us this? It's a great nace. It mentioned it by Sarah. So one of the answers I heard from my Rebbe many years ago is because the Torah is not a storybook. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah tells us what it's needed to know. Once the Torah said that such a miracle can occur by Sarah, it doesn't have to tell us every other time such a miracle occurred. That's the simple teretz over here. In any event, Pasuk says, so Yocheved then returned to Amram, and she had a son, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says that she was already pregnant with Moshe Rabbeinu when Amram had separated from her. Now, 3 months later, he takes her back, but she was already 3 months pregnant. So why is it saying now, so this is the understanding of Al Gemara, that she was already pregnant. Rashi brings down the famous Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is based upon the Gemara elsewhere as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually not a 9-month term delivery, but he was a 6-month baby. 6 months and 2 days, the Gemara tells us elsewhere. And therefore, that's why we'll see that she was able to hide him for 3 months. According to this, they didn't realize that she was already pregnant, so therefore, they counted from the days that he returned to her, they counted 9 months to see if she would give birth, if she would have a child. Whereas, according to the Pshat that Rashi brings down elsewhere, that she was not yet pregnant, she became pregnant now, but Moshe Rabbeinu was only a 6-month gestation, not a 9-month gestation. In any event, it says over here that she was already 3 months pregnant, so why does it say Vatari Shavatele Bein? So Rabbi Yehuda Rezivina, again another statement from Yehuda Rezivina, Mekish Leidos Elorosa, to teach us a very important idea about Noshim Sidkonios, the righteous Jewish women. Mahu Rosa Shlobitzar, just like the conception was without any pain, so too Af Leidos Shlobitzar, she gave birth without pain. pain was instituted in the world for women giving birth because of the sin of Chava. But the righteous women, who would not have sinned like Chava, so therefore they don't have pain when they give birth. And because they weren't included in the decree, Bitzavon told the bottom that they were going to have to go and give birth in pain. So righteous women have a mitigation of that or a total absence of that pain during childbirth. While on the subject of Ben Yoyada, so Ben Yoyada gives another reason why she actually had children at this point in time. Because if she didn't have a child at 130, you know what people would say? Oh, Amram got back to her because there was no chance that his child would be thrown into the Nile because his wife was 130 years old and wouldn't give birth. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make this miracle that she gave birth to a child in order that people should see that this going back, Amram taking back Yocheva, was not only for older couples that couldn't have children anymore, but this applied to everybody. The Yonaka says a similar idea. And he says that this miracle was not necessary for her. She was already pregnant, according to our Gemara. And therefore, this was to show all the other people, no, everybody has to get back to their wives, even if they'll have children. That gezeira that Amram had made, that they shouldn't be married anymore, is not a good gezeira because it's going to lead to the lack of procreation of Klal Yisrael. Gemara continues and says, Vatera oso ki tovu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, everybody saw that he was Tov. So we have a number of reasons why he's called Tov. Tanya, we have in the Brisa, Rebeir Omer, Tov Shemo. His name was Tov. That's what they called him. So Vatera oso ki tovu. He was good. They called him good. Reb Yehuda Omer, Tuvia Shemo. No, his name actually was Tuvia and not Tov. So it's a similar idea to Reb Meir. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, a different reason. He says, Hogun Lunvios. They saw that he was good because they saw that he was going to be a Navi. He was Hogun. He was appropriate for being a Navi. Then we have the Acherim Omer. This is very interesting because often we say that Rav Meir is the Acherim, as Tosus brings down. But we see that it's not always true. So there are a number of different explanations here to say that Rav Meir is not always the Acherim. Only sometimes it sees the Acherim, or that the Acherim doesn't necessarily refer to Rav Meir. In any event, the fourth opinion that we have here is the Acherim's opinion is no like Shumo. They saw that he was good because he was already born with a bris milah. And the fifth and final answer is a chamomim b'shoa shenolad Moshe nismali habayis kulo or. At the moment that Moshe was born, the house filled up with light. And it says, in regards to light, sivhocha v'teroso kitovo, sivhocha v'yalukim esar kitov. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to the light as good, and the house lit up when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so therefore they called it tov, kitovo. Then it says that Yocheva was able to hide Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months, but tisbineu shloshi yorachim. Why only 3 months? The lo manu mitzriim. El Mishal de Adra, because the Mitzriim mistakenly counted Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't realize, as Argumar said, that she was pregnant, or that it was only a 6 month gestation, like Rashi brings out from the Gemara elsewhere, that the Mitzriim didn't realize that she was already giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu 3 months before they expected the delivery to occur, and therefore she was able to hide him for 3 months. So the Gemara says, V'yavis ma'abra beit losa yachem yikara, as the Gemara here says, that she was already pregnant for 3 months, so they didn't realize that, so when Amram retook her, so they came back to check 9 months later to see if she had a child. And that's why v'lo yachla od hatzvino. That's why she no longer was able to hide him. So the Gemara says, why not? Am I? Tisbinena v'tezel. Just the same way she hid her till now, why couldn't she continue to hide him? And they would think that she wasn't pregnant. El Gemor tells us, Kol hecha dahavu shamei mitzroi, the misyalid yenuka. Whenever the Mitzriim heard, the wicked Mitzriim, whenever they heard that a Jewish baby had been born, or they expected a baby to be born, so mamtu yenuka hasam, they would bring another baby over there, and ki hechi delishminu uma ave bahadayu. You know what? Misery loves company, so to say. When one baby cries, the other babies around there will cry. People that have twins or triplets, so they'll tell you, as soon as one kid starts crying, often all the other kids start crying. In a nursery, in a hospital, if one baby's crying, so then often all the other babies will cry. And that's exactly what they did. They figured out that if there's a child born over here, we can find out where the child is being hidden by bringing another baby there and crying, and then that child will cry. The Chizkuni, by the way, tries to reconcile the two versions as to whether Moshe Rabbeinu was born premature 6 months, and that's why Rashi brings down the Gemara elsewhere that they were able to hide him for 3 months, versus our Gemara here that says that she was already pregnant for 3 months and this was a 9 month gestation. So the Chizkuni suggests that the Mitzriim, in fact, were concerned that it would be a 6 month gestation, but she was, in fact, already 3 months pregnant. So they came to check 6 months after the return when they thought it could be 6 months gestation, but it really was a 6 months gestation from 3 months before, when she was still already when she was already pregnant with Moshe Rabbeinu before Amram separated from her. So that's how the Chizkuni tries to connect these two competing midrashim. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, how do we know that one baby cries, the other babies will go and cry as well? This is based upon a pasuk that we have in Shir HaShirim, where it says, Achazu lanu shualim, shualim ketana begomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they go grab these foxes over here, take hold of these foxes, these little foxes that they destroyed the vineyard, and you can see that one little fox goes and calls the other little fox. So Rashi explains, this is a medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Yamsuf, throw out the Mitzrayim, who used to be little foxes over here, that they would go and check the babies and find out where the babies were. Now they had grown up and become the Mitzrayim soldiers. Alternatively, the Mitzrayim were so wicked that they would send their little girls into the bathhouses to look at the Jewish women to see if they were pregnant. And therefore, these little children would be telling on the Jewish women when they were, in fact, reaching their 9 months of pregnancy. Pasuk continues, says, "Vatikach lo tevas gomer." So Yocheved put little baby boy Moshe into the little wicker basket, as we all know the story. And the Gemara asks, why bedafka was a tevas gomer? Put him into a fancy basket. Why into a wicker basket? A very inexpensive, simple type of a basket. Maishno gomer. Why bedafka did she put him into something like gomer and not a fancy basket? So I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar tells us, Mikan let tzadikim shemamonim chaviv alein yoser migufon. We see from here, famously, we saw by Yaakov Avinu going back for the pach that he left behind, the pachim that he left behind, because tzaddikim earn their money honestly. And their money, therefore, is very choshev to them, that this was earned as a mitzvah, making parnasa, and they earned it honestly, so it's very, therefore, choshev to them. Not that they would give up their lives for it, but they treated it with tremendous respect, and they wouldn't waste their money on things that weren't important. One of our Rebbeim always used to say that, why do we refer to money as damim? Because it's also blood, so it's because that's your life. When you spend an hour working on something, so that's basically an hour of your life. So you earned $100 for that job that you did. So that is telling you that that was 1 hour of your life. That's blood of your life, so to say. And that's why damim is a reference to money as well as to a person's blood. In any event, the kol kach lama, so why again use such an inexpensive thing like gomer? So lefish ain't posting your damn gazel, because he earned the money honestly, and therefore they didn't want to waste it and use it on something that wasn't necessary. And Moshe Rabbeinu could be saved with a tevas gomer, just like he could be saved with a teva of cedar wood, of a fancy wood. So therefore, that's why he didn't use it. That's the first in reason. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni disagrees, and he says, Amar, it was Dovarach, but Davka, they want to use a wicker basket, which is soft, because Shiochol Lamo b'fnei Dovarach u'b'fnei Dovarkosha. Let's say this wicker basket went and hit a rock, so if it was wood, it might shatter, and if it was wicker, it would just bounce off it, so to say, and therefore, whether it hit something soft or whether it hit something hard, the wicker basket would be safer for the baby. So it said that she smeared the teva with clay, chemor, and zephes, this tar, this pitch, which is foul-smelling. Tana, the Braisa learns, the chemor, the clay, was on the inside. Mibifrim, it didn't smell bad. The zephes, which was to insulate the little teva, was on the outside. Mibachot, because it smelled bad. Kidei shelo yoriach oso tzadik riach ra. So Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have to have the smell of this zephes, this foul-smelling zephes, on the inside, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to smell it. Out of concern for Moshe's sensitivities, so the zephis was only on the outside. The Ben Yehuda asks a very interesting question. He says, Noach also had a teva, and it says over there that they put zephis, referred to as kofar, on the inside. Now, Noach was a tzaddik. Why should he have to smell this bad thing? Shol yirich osa tzaddik riach ra by Moshe, why doesn't that apply to Noach too? Well, Noach should have a bad smell. So the Ben Yehuda, in his usual unbelievable style, says, there's a difference. Noach and all the people of his generation were actually very, very wealthy, and they could afford a better quality zephis that didn't have an odor to it, called kofar. And therefore, they could go and smear it on the inside, and it wouldn't be a bad rach. In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were very poor, and they couldn't afford this kofar, this high-quality zephis. They had to use the lower-quality zephis, which had a horrible smell to it, and therefore, they only put the zephis on the outside. The Marshal gives a practical answer. He says the marble lasted for 40 days, and then they were in the teva for almost the rest of the year. So you better insulate that teva well so it shouldn't leak. So the zephes, the kofar, had to be on the inside and on the outside. Alternatively, the Marashah says that the Shechina was present with Moshe Rabbeinu, as we've already seen and we'll see again, in the teva. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was with the Shechina, so you couldn't have a bad smell. Just like a person not allowed to daven if there's a bad, a foul odor around him, so too, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, can't be in the presence of this foul odor, and therefore, they only put the zephes on the outside. Okay. The Gemara continues to darshin. Vatosim ba'asa yelid, vatosim ba'suf. So they placed baby boy Moshe in the teva, and they put it into the suf. The suf is the reeds, right? So Rabbi Elazar Omer, yam suf. That's why it's called yam suf, the sea of reeds. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Omer, a different reason. He's returned to Yudbeis Omudbeis, and he says, agam, it's referred to as an agam, a reed marsh over here. Kidasiv, kone vasuf. Komelu. As it says, the reeds and the suf, these other types of reeds, they will go komelu, they will go and wither away. Then it says, Vaterid bas paro lurchol sal yor. It says that Bisya, the daughter of Paro, went down to wash herself in the yor, in this yam suf. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai. So, Yochanan says, we find many times, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai. He didn't hear it directly from Mishum Yochai. He said this many times. Mishum, there were others in between. It was a couple of generations after Yochanan was living after Rabbi Shimon Yochai. But he said it over in the name of his Rebbeim, who said it over in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Malami, Shiyarda Lirchot, Migilule Avia. That she was going down to wipe away, so to say, to rinse off the Avodah Zarah of her father's house. She was going down to be Mizgaya. She was becoming Bisya. That's why she was known as the daughter of Hashem. Bas Ka, Bisya. Many times she's referred to as Batya, but it's really pronounced in Divrei Hayamim, Bisya. In any event, so she went down to immerse herself in the Yor in order that she should become Miss Gayeris. The Chayin Omer, as the Pasuk tells us, in Ruach HaTzeshem, Eis Tzoas B'no Sion V'gomer. She was cleaned away from the filth of the Avodah Zarah. In any event, then it says, V'narosel Chos V'gomer, her slaves, her servant girls, went with her to also go down to the Yamsuf over here, the Nilus, to go and be cleansed. So the Gemara says, why does it say that they were walking over there? So Amar Rav Yochanan, the word holchos has a negative connotation. Ein alichazu ela loshon misa. It means that they were walking to their death. Chayin Omer, as the pasuk tells us from Chumash, hineyon chay olech lomus v'lomala zeli b'chora. When Esav says to Yaakov, "Give me from the nezid hadashim because I'm about to die. Why do I need this?" So hineyon chay olech lomus. So the servant girls of Bisya were going to die. Why? Because Bisya saw the teva in the reed sea, and kiven the chazu to call Boaz liatzule lemoshe, and they saw that Paro's daughter Bisya was going to take it out. So the word that we have is bo, but the Bach changes it around to Boaz. The she wanted to go and save baby boy Moshe, so he said to her, it doesn't make any sense. Your father was the one that decreed to kill all the Jewish people. So the slave girl said to her, you're our master. They said to her, min hago shel olam, the way the world is, melech boss of Adam goes to Gezerah, im kol olam kulon im kaim rosa. And nevertheless, the whole world may not follow that Gezerah or the king, but at least his family does. Bonov ubnei beiso mekaim rosa. Yeah, the rest of the world may not follow it, but at least his family will follow it. But you are going against your own father's decree. So they were trying to convince her not to save baby boy Moshe. So along comes the Malach Gabriel, Bo Gabriel, the Chavotim Bekarka, and he smashed them into the ground, and that got rid of the problem of the slave girls, her maidservants, trying to get her to go and not save baby boy Moshe. So it says, Vatishlach es amasa vatikochel. She stretches out her, literally, amasa is her hand, and she goes and brings in baby boy Moshe. Now, review the Rebbe Nechemi. We have two opinions over here. We don't know which one said which. Chad amar yoda. It was literally her hand. That she sent a shivka out into the river to go and bring back baby boy Moshe. Now, Mandi Amar Yoda, the one who says that it was her hand, so it makes good sense. Tchsev Amasa says her hand. Mandi Amar Shivchasa Midalok Siv Yoda, because it Bedavka didn't say Vatishlachas Yoda, it says Bedavka Vatishlachas Amasa, since it wanted to teach us it wasn't her hand, it was her Amasa, so it uses the lashon of Amasa instead of Yoda. No, Mandi Amar Shivchasa, the one who says it was her shivcha, knew her amir is bakar riyah v'chavot v'mekarka. We just learned a minute ago that seemingly all of her maidservants were pushed into the ground by Gabriel. So how did she have a maidservant left? So Gemara says, no, Gabriel left the one. The shayir lo chada, because it's pasnish for the queen to go, the daughter of the king, to go and have no maidservants. The lav orcha, it's not appropriate, it's not the normal way. The bas malka, the mekam l'chuda, she would go by herself. So therefore, the daughter of the king should have an escort, at least one. No, Ulman the Yomer Yoda, the one that says that it was literal hand. So Lichtov Yoda. So why didn't it say the hand? Why did he use the term Amasa? So this is to teach us a tremendous miracle. Hokomashvalon to teach us the Ishtarve Ishtarbuve, that the baby, according to the Medrash, was 120 Amma out there. The little baby boy Moshe was out in the middle of the river. And she put her hand out, which on its own could never reach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that it extended out 120 Amma, according to some. The Amma Mar, as we have the famous story with Achashverosh, with his Sharvit HaZohav, so that it stretched out. So too, the same miracle happened over here with Bas Paro. And similarly, we have the story of the Shinei Rishoyim. This is a reference to Og Melech HaBoshan. To see if Shinei Rishoyim Shibarta, when he picked up the mountain to drop it on Klai Yisrael, so his teeth extended. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his teeth extend out, and the mountain got stuck around his neck, and ultimately it fell on him, and he died. The story with the Shavir HaZahav of Achashverosh was when Esther Malka came to visit him. She wasn't sure if he would accept her or not, so she stayed far away from him. So his scepter he put out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace that the scepter extended all the way out to Esther Amalka. Vativtach vatireva, the yeled, the pasuk continues, and it says, she opens up the teva, and she sees inside that there's a yeled. So Gemara says, vatire miboyle, it should have said, and she saw, not that she saw him, or vatirehu, she saw them. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, she saw a shechina imo. She saw not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but she saw that the shechina was there as well. That's the reference before, that we said that the shechina was in the teva, and that's why it couldn't have the zephyrs on the inside. Marketina says, she sees inside, a nar is boche. Now, before she called him a yelid, and now she calls him a nar. So, korle yelid, korle nar, which one is it? So, the Brisa says, Tana, who yelid, but call him a nar, kinar. He was, in fact, a yelid, a baby boy that was just recently born, but he had the voice of a nar. That's Rehuda's opinion. Although Rehuda says, Im Kain, if that's so, Asisa Lamoshe Rabbeinu, Balmum. Wait a second, if that is true, that he had the voice of a nar, but he's a little baby, so that's actually a mum, that's a blemish, and you're making Moshe Rabbeinu into a Baal Mum? So no, he says, therefore, Rav Nechemi says, that's not the correct understanding, Ela Molami, to teach us, She'oza solo imo chupas ni'urim bateva, that his mother said, I don't know what's going to happen to this baby boy Moshe, I may not live to be at his wedding, he may not live to be at his wedding, so she made him like a chuppah, the basket was like a chuppas ne'orim, and therefore, that's why it says, v'nei nar bocha. Omer, she said, shemolo eske l'chuppaso, maybe I will not be able to be at his chuppah, so let me make the chuppah, so to say, now. Then the pasuk continues, v'atach mololov, that Bisya Bas Paro took mercy on this little baby, so she said, v'atomer, miyal de'ovrim, she said that this little baby boy, Mial de Hoivrim, said he's certainly from the Jewish people. How does she know that? You know Yoda. So the Gemara says, "Amar Yosef Ruchanina," because she was so muscle mo. She saw that he had a bris mila. The Eitz Yosef said that we already said that Moshe Rabbeinu was born mo. So how could she see that he had a bris mila? So somehow she saw his hatafas dam bris. The Eitz Yosef says, because otherwise he would have been a Mitzri who was just born mo. So there's a difference between somebody who has a bris mila and somebody who's born mo, so she was able to recognize that there was hatovas dam bris. Very interesting idea from the Eitz Yosef. The pasuk continues, it says that this is one of the Jewish boys, nar zeh, batomer miyal dehoriyim zeh. What's this zeh a reference to? So Rav Yochanan, balame shenisnaba shlomi data. She was actually giving a nevuah over here without realizing it. That there, this child, miyal dehoriyim zeh, this child zeh no fell into the Yamsuf, the ain acher no fell, but no other Jewish baby will fall into the Yamsuf anymore. Because, as we mentioned, the Tanige Paro, the astrologers of Paro, saw in their astrology that the Moshiach and Shalkai Yisrael was being born that day, and therefore they said throw everybody into the Yamsuf. But then they saw that that went away, because once Moshe was in the Yamsuf, so the prophecy was, so to say, what they saw in Shemayim was done, that the Moshiach of Klai Yisrael was lost in the water. So that's what they saw, and therefore they stopped throwing all the Jewish babies as well as the Egyptian babies into the Yamsuf. This is what Rilaza says. What does the pasuk mean when it says, V'chiyomru aleichem, dirshu ala ovos, v'ala yidonim, ametzavsitim v'hamagim. So this is a reference to, you go and ask all these ovos and yidonim, these people that practice various types of black magic, and they're going to talk and talk and talk and chirp like the birds. So tzofim v'enu yodim matzofim, magim v'enu yodim ma'magim. They chirp like the birds. They don't know what they're saying. They're saying something, but they don't realize what they're saying. So too the astrologers, they saw something. There were certain koichos that they did have, but they really didn't have a clear understanding. The Gemara continues and says, Ro, what did they see? Shemoshi and Shal Yisrael b'mayim hulokeh. They saw that the Moshe Rukaiso, Moshe Rabbeinu, would be loke, would be hurt by water. So Amdu Begazu, therefore they made the Xeru, Kolabena Yolodi Oratashlichu. They said throw the Jewish babies into the water, and then ultimately Paro said that throw even the Mitzri babies into the water. So Kivon Deshadyu LaMoshe. So when Moshe was put into the Teva and into the water, so the astrologers that Stenige Paro said, Amu to Lo Chazina, we no longer see Ki Hahu Simona, that simon that we saw previously. So they assumed that the baby savior of Klai Yisrael had been thrown into the water and drowned. So therefore, Batlu Zerusayu. So therefore, they said, we no longer have to throw the babies into the water. However, Behemen and Yodin, they didn't realize that that wasn't the water that they were referring to. Sha'amei Merivo Loka. This was when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. And instead of talking to the rock, he hit the rock the second time. And that's when the waters came out from the rock. So that's when Moshe died, Amei Merivo, by that situation. That was the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Rabbi Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Maitis was a public meaning when it says, Hema Mei Meriva, Asher Ravu. This is the Mei Meriva that they had a fight about. So Hema Asher Ravu, it's Anigne Pyro Vito. This is what the astrologers of Pyro saw, and they made the mistake about. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. You 600,000 people are all saved on my account. When I was thrown into the Yam, so all the rest of you were saved. And that's why Chai Yisrael was able to leave Mitzrayim with 600,000 people. We go back to Darshan in the Pasuk. So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar, that day that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the Nilus, so he was on the 21st day of the month of Nisan, which happens to be the day of eventually Kriyas Yamsuf, 80 years later. Now, Amru Malachi Yesharis L'nei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, so the Malachim said in front of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom, they said to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Mi she'osed lo mashira ala yom biyom zeh, yiloke biyom zeh, could it be possible that the one who's going to sing Shira on this Kriyas Yamsuf, Oz Yoshir Moshe, he should now die? How is that possible? Now, the Ben Yod asked the obvious question. If Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be loked now al hayam, how could it possibly be that he would sing Shira al hayam? It's impossible. So what would the Malachim say that the one who was going to sing Shira should be loked now? So if he's loked out, he wouldn't sing Shira in the future. So Ben Yod, and again, his inimitable style says, it's possible that it would have been a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu that would have done that. The concept of a Gilgal is when a neshama is brought back to the world in a different situation. So Moshe Rabbeinu would have died now. He would have been Yulakia now in the Teva. He would have drowned. But a Gilgal of his neshama would have come back and sung Shira. That's an amazing answer. Alternatively, the Binyan says a more practical answer. He says he would have drowned, but he would have been saved. So he would have been Yulakia Alayam, but he would have been saved. And then he would, of course, live to sing Shira. In any event, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not proper. He's going to be singing Shira Alayam, and he should die by the Yam. So that's the first possibility. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Amar, no. Also Yom Shisha b'Sivan. It wasn't the 21st day of Nisan. It was the 6th day of Sivan, day of Matan Torah. And the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amalach Malach Shoris, L'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'yonu Shalom, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi sha'asa l'kabal Torah, on this day, Mehar Sinai, B'yom Zeh Yilokeh, B'yom Zeh, he should be now, when he's going to get the Torah on this day, he should now be loked on this very day. It doesn't make any sense. By the way, that is the source, according to many, of the custom of putting greenery and putting up flowers in the shul on the day of Shavuos, because it was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by Disibas Paro. That was Shavuos. And therefore, to remind ourselves of the suf, of the reeds, so we put up greenery and plants and things like that in the shul. Beautiful source of the custom. In any event, we have two different days. Either it was the 21st day of Nisan, or it was the 6th day of Nisan. The Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's inappropriate that Moshe Rabbeinu should die when he's going to eventually do something great on this day. Now, Bishlam Gemara says, L'man D'Yom HaBishisha B'Sivan, according to the one that says this was the 6th day of Sivan, it works out very, very well. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th day of Adar, so the 6th day of Sivan is 3 months later. That's she was able to hide him for 3 months, and then she couldn't hide him anymore. L'man D'Yom HaBishisha B'Sivan, Mishkach Lo Tlos Yachi, works out, 3 months, very good. D'Yom HaMar, B'Shiva B'Yadar Meis, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar, and that was the day he was born. We know this from Haman. He made calculations, and he said, oh, this is a bad day for the Jewish people. So that's why he picked the month of Adar. He's very happy that the lottery fell out on the month of the Adar when he said the Jewish people would be reft of any holidays, and that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. He didn't know that it was also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And therefore, when Mishiva B'Adar, from the 7th day of Adar, Ad Shisha B'Sivan, until the 6th day of Sivan, is Tlasu Yachi, it's 3 months. Oh, that's why she was able to hide him for 3 months. But if you're going to say, Shachar b'Nisan, Hechem Mishkachas Lo. But if it's going to be the 21st day of Nisan, then how do you calculate 3 months? So Gemara says, because Oso Shana Me'ubaris Aysan. That year there were two Adars. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin of Adar Rishon, and therefore most of Adar Rishon, Rubo Shel Rishon, and you have Rubo Shel Achron, and most of Nisan, because the miracle occurred on the 21st day of Nisan, so you have essentially most of other Rishon, you have most of Nisan, and the Emsai Shalom, and you have other bays the entire month. So that's why it's the almost 3 months period of time that they were able to hide Moshe Rabbeinu. We continue dashing the Pesukim. It says, Vatomer Achoso El Bas Paro. So Moshe's sister, Achoso, Miriam, goes and tells the Bas Paro, Hailech, should I go? Bikurasi Loch, Ishame Nekes, Inoibrios. They tried to suckle Moshe Rabbeinu by the Mitzrayim, and Peshta also Ladabir Makodesh Baruch Hu, it's inappropriate that he should eat the treif of milk that comes out of the Noshim Noch Rios. And therefore, she wasn't able to feed Moshe Rabbeinu, so Miriam came and said, I'll get you a Jewish lady that will go be able to feed him. So this has halacha nice ramifications in that if a person has to have a wet nurse, so ideally you should make sure that that person who's nursing the child should be eating kosher, that you shouldn't have the treif food being changed into the milk for the nursing mother, into the baby. The mother, even if she's a gaita, should be eating kosher food. In any event, so she goes to Bisi Bas Paro and says, should I go find you a menekes from the Yevrios? Now, umayish nomi Yevrios, why should Moshe Rabbeinu suckle from a Jewish wet nurse and not from a gaisha wet nurse? Because teaching us the idea, Malami Shech Ziru, Lemosha, Alkol, Mitzios Kulon, they tried multiple wet nurses that were Egyptian women, Velo Yonak, and Moshe Rabbeinu would not go and suckle because Amar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Pesh Osad Ladabir Mashchina, Yinak Dover Tomei, because HaKodesh Baruch Hu said that it's inappropriate that I'm going to speak Peh Peh, ultimately to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he shouldn't have this tuma inside of him from the treifas that the wet nurse is feeding him. So behind the dusid, that's what the pasuk says, Esmi Yoredeya Vigomer. And the conclusion of that Vigomer is Esmi Yovin Shmua Gmule Mechalov Atike Mishodoyim. So that's who is the one that will get knowledge and be able to teach knowledge. Lemi Yoredeya Ulmi Yovin Shmua. Oh, that will be Ligmule Mechalov Ula Atike Mishodoyim. The one who is weaned off from the milk, and who is taken away from the breast of the mother, so that should be from a person who is eating kosher food. The Ben Yehuda adds over here, why this double lashon, l'gmule mechalav and atike mishadayim, both of them mean the same thing. He was weaned off the milk, and he was weaned off the breast. So the Ben Yehuda says that Moshe Rabbeinu, not only would he not suckle and actually nurse from the goyish mother, the wet nurse, but he wouldn't even put the dad in his mouth. He wouldn't even go and even tried to nurse. He refused to even put his mouth on this source of non-kosher food. We continue to in the Pesukim. It says, V'tomer lo bas paro lechi v'te lecho alma v'gomer. So Miriam had spoken to Bas Paro. Bas Paro said, no, go and find me such a woman, and v'te lecho alma. And the young girl ran. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Melami shehocho bizrizos ke alma, that she ran with alacrity like a young girl would run. Now, the only problem is, she's 6 years old. She's a very young girl. She's 7 years old at the time Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So, of course she's an Alma. What does it mean, Ke Alma? So Ben Yehuda, again, says beautiful over here. She was an Alma, but she was sickly. Remember, we had said she was Azuva. She was a sickly girl, and therefore normally she could not run. But because of her zeal to go and save her brother, she was somehow able to run like an Alma. Even though she was an Alma, but she didn't have the strength of a typical Alma. But here, she had a strong desire to save her brother, so she was able to run. He also adds that Visya Bas Paro did not realize that Miriam was a Jewish girl because she spoke Egyptian to her and she looked like a Mitzri. So she didn't think that Miriam was just trying to save a Jewish baby. And the only reason why she suggested I'll get a Jewish mother for you is because all the Gaisha mothers, the Mitzriist mothers, had their own babies. If they were a nurse, they were nursing mother, so they had their own babies to nurse, and there was a concern that maybe they wouldn't have enough milk for both their own baby and for this baby boy, Moshe Rabbeinu. But she said, I'll go call a Jewish mother because all the Jewish babies have been thrown into the Nilus, and therefore they'll have milk only that's going to waste, so to say, and therefore a Jewish mother will be happy to nurse the baby and will have enough milk for the baby. Again, beautiful, beautiful ideas of the Ben Yehuda. In any event, the Gemara continues, says Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni Yomar, Ha'alma Shehelima as the Varea, that she was able to hide her words. As I just mentioned, the pshat of the Ben Yoyada, that she tricked her into thinking that she was a mitzvah herself and she was just trying to get a Jewish mother. And the fact that she was getting the actual mother of the baby, so she hid her words. That's Alma. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says, alludes to this idea that she spoke with cunning. Then the pasuk continues, "Vatomer lo bas paro." So bas paro bisya says to Yocheved, when Miriam brings her mother to go and nurse the baby, she says, "Helichi es hayel lezeh." Now go and take this child and nurse the child for me. So Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina says, "Misnaba," that at that moment in time, bisya was prophesying. However, they didn't ask manisaba, she didn't realize what she was saying because she said, "Helichi," which means "Ha shelichi," go and take that which belongs to you. So she was being misnaba that this actually was the mother of baby boy Moshe. Then she says, "Bisya to Yocheved, ani etein ischarech. I will pay you to go nurse your own son." So Amar Rechama Berchinini says another beautiful word. Lo dayin, it's not enough. Let tzadikim shmachzir lehen avad yisod. It's not enough that we have a Kosh Baruch who goes and returns to the righteous their lost items. However, Ela she knows the len scharen. Not only that, but he pays them for all their efforts to go look for the lost thing. So Yocheved is being paid to nurse her own son. Finally, we conclude, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achos Aaron V'Gomer. So it says, ultimately, by the Shira, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achos Aaron Esatof Biyodah. So why is it only Achos Aaron? Achos Aaron below Achos Moshe? Wasn't she also the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is she referred to in the Shira Sayam as only the Achos Aaron? So Amar Rav Amram Amar Rav. Rav Amram said the name of Rav. Others say the Amri was Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav. It was Rav Nachman said the name of Rav. Milami, this is to teach us a very important idea. Shoyse Misnava Kishi Achos Aaron. That she was already in Neviah when she was only, at that point in time, the older sister of Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't been born. And where did she do this Nevuah? So we turn to Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. Vomeris, because she said, Asido Imi Shetelet Bein. She already prophesied that her mother would eventually give birth to the Savior of Klai Yisrael, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And once, V'kivin Shnolad Moshe Rabbeinu, Nismali Kol HaBayis Kula Oriz, we said the house lit up and he was called Tov, and Amad Aviyah Amram, who had listened to his daughter Miriam and went back together with Yocheved and now saw that Baruch Hashem, she was misnava correctly, so he stood up for his daughter, Unishaka Rosh, to give a big kiss on her head. Amalah, he said to her, Biti, my daughter, Niskaima Nevuasech. It's clear that your Nevuah is fulfilled. However, Nebuch, when they had to go and throw baby boy Moshe into the Teva and put him into the Yam Suf, the Kivon Shetilua Layar, when they put the baby into the Nile, Yam Suf and the Nilus over here are interchangeable, because this was probably the Nilus entering into the Yam Suf. In any event, once they threw the baby boy Moshe into the Teva, into the Yam Suf, so Amar Aviyah Utfacha Al Rosha. So he got up and he gave her a little patch. So the simple understanding is he gave the patch to her. And the Yodah says that he gave her a tap to trick the Sutton into thinking he gave up. So he didn't really give her a patch. He gave her a little patch over here to the Sutton would think that, they've given up hope that baby boy Moshe would be the savior of Klai Yisrael, and this way he wouldn't have to work so hard to cause the downfall of Klai Yisrael. The Ben Yoda adds that if he hadn't given her this patch, it would have looked like he was rejoicing in a way over the demise, the future demise of Klai Yisrael, and that's not something the Jewish people do. Bin Pol Eivecha Al Tismach. You shouldn't rejoice at the fall of your friend. And he said to his daughter, Amalei Biti, Hecha Nevuasech, no, what's going to happen to your Nevuah? Hainu Dersev. That's what he said. That's why it says that she stood waiting by the Yam Suf to see what would happen from afar. What would happen to baby boy Moshe? In other words, what would happen to her Nevuah? This is a great point. It's a long shiur, but a beautiful shiur. And again, it's so beautiful that these shiurim are actually on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And I hope people have a wonderful Chag Kosher V'Sameach. And B'ezus Hashem, we should continue to be able to learn through this entire beautiful Masechta together. Have a great day and a good Shabbos.